The Accidental Entrepreneur is brought to you through our affiliate relationships with the following sponsors: Digital Accelerant, the digital mobile business card that generates leads. Text the word LAW to 21,000 to get connected and learn how to get your own digital business card. And by Fetch Internet and Fetch Pro, the secure, high-speed app that eliminates the need to pay for hotspots or use public unsecure Wi-Fi. And Printify, the online, on-demand print shop for all your corporate merchandise. Be sure to visit our online store and get your own podcast merch. Listen to all of our sponsors' commercials later in this episode and follow their links in the show notes to learn more about their products and services.
Oh, right? Practice makes permanent. If you're doing it wrong, right. Yeah. You're going to do it wrong.
Perfect
like
practice,
those
right?
Seasoned actors that I had in Screen Actors Guild, they were really hard. I had to break a lot of habits because they were practicing wrong.
Right.
But the challenge is that we all have to show up now. We want to see, and even people who have these podcasts or blogs that are still screens, you know, hiding behind the screens, their comments, I keep hearing this over and over again, we want to see your face. We want to
right.
see your face. And that's because, I don't know if you know this, maybe you do, but there's a part of our brain that's called the fusiform gyrus or something.
Oh, and learned a new part of the brain, never heard of.
It's a facial recognition part of our brain. You know how
so
you look at
it? Matches up the faces with who we think they are. That makes
and
sense.
When it searches out for faces. So when you're looking at a collage and there's a face in it, you know how artists do that?
Yeah.
Our face wants, I mean, our brain wants to connect to those faces. It's just primal.
That makes sense.
It's actually beneficial to use that secret, but then get good. So the challenge is you got to do it. You got to do it. But the fact is that the secrets to really doing it well have been kind of hidden away in our industry, you
right.
know, TV film industry. We've been doing this for decades.
Yeah.
It's like honed into a science.
The information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work, and they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode. Just to remind you, the podcast is produced and brought to you by my legal practice, Beinhacker Law. We provide business and estate services to entrepreneurs, inventors, and other small business owners. Whether you're just getting started or you've been operating for a long time, contact us for all your general legal needs, from contracts to client agreements, from purchasing a new location to onboarding a new partner or key employee. We draft all types of agreements and handle most business transactions. For more information about our products and services, visit beinhackerlaw.com or you can follow our link in the show notes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed today's interview.
Hi, I'm Suzanne Glover. I solved the biggest challenge in business today with my video influencing system, which gives you everything you need to do video successfully and get the edge over your competition in today's virtual world.
All right, Suzanne. So thanks for making the time to finally come on the show. You know, I was looking through our notes. Who had connected us?
Podmatch.
I was with Podmatch. I'm on like, just like you, matchmaker, Podmatch, podcast guests. I got bookers that call me and everything. So it's good though, because it's making it easier for me to find really good people. But I always like, I know one other person that really does like on camera stuff near me. She used to be in the news and stuff and she consults on it, but very few people really do it. And nowadays, I mean, you think with video is important before. Oh. Now we live on camera, like our whole lives, from TikTok to Zoom to it's just nuts. So obviously your skill is needed and your business is growing, but I want to talk about that. Maybe we go back to, you know, your background. You were telling me about, you know, where you grew up, but what your training is and how you got to where you're going. And then we'll talk about all the advice you have for business owners and people going on camera and so forth to promote their career.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me here today, first off.
I appreciate it.
Thanks. And yes, I started out, you know, I was a model. That's how I got into the industry, was a model. But right. I soon got too old. I mean, I was only in my 20s and I was too old to model.
Right, you age out real quickly in the modeling business, right?
Yeah. Age. Yeah. Bad. Yeah. So I had to turn into the camera. I had to turn to do the camera. That's I had to. And it's very much like what's happening today for businesses. They have to now pivot to being on camera to continue.
Yeah.
Right. Sure. Right. So that's what I had to do. But you know what? It has two sides of the coin here. On one side, yes, you have to learn this medium and you should learn it right. Right.
Right.
But at the same time, there's so many advantages to it. So I had to pivot to camera.
Right.
At first, I kind of felt like, oh, I don't know if I want to do this. But hey, you know, in the TV film industry, when you do certain jobs, you get residuals, like a national TV commercial or a film.
Right. Every time they air it, right? You get
Yeah. You probably know that.
Every time they use it, I guess. Yeah, I don't. I mean, I guess. But, you know, I guess this was a different time, too, because we're, you know, we're both about the same age. You're going back a number of years. There was no YouTube and all this kind of stuff nowadays where you can build your own personal brand for no money, right?
Exactly. And, yeah. Oh, I'm just getting a chill right now because I was, when I had my, I'm skipping forward, but I'll go back. When I had my modeling and acting studio, I took the kids to the local TV station to get experience because there wasn't any YouTube.
Right. You couldn't do it with your phone. Yeah.
No. So I started way back in the 80s. I mean, we're talking like almost, I've been doing this almost 40 years now. And actually, I started modeling when I was a teen, but acting for the camera, it's been pretty much 40 years, roughly. And what happens is, you know, back then, it's interesting. It was a small group of people. The TV world was very small.
Right.
Everybody knew each other.
There weren't 500 channels and all this stuff and social media. Yeah.
So you had to have a gatekeeper to get you into the industry. And so I had to get an agent. Right. But the interesting thing was I took it seriously. I did get my first commercial, which was not a national. It was a local cable TV station type of thing.
Right.
And you know what happened? This is why I can relate to what people are going through is I'm thinking, oh, I can do this. But first time I looked up at the camera, because the action was scoop up some water, look at the camera, say some words. And I
just froze. You couldn't think of anything?
I couldn't.
Just, and you know, yeah, well, that's the way the mind works, right? You're like, and then you forget everything. Yeah,
that's right.
And I don't think director, people appreciate that. Yeah.
You know, I think it was interesting because I think the director expected it. I don't know, but I just remember his.
Like he wasn't that surprised. He wasn't like throw him. He was like, yeah, no, that's what we expected.
I don't know, but he just kind of lowered his head and shook it. Like, oh my gosh, what did I hire? And the crew's looking around at each other. Well, okay, so that was my first experience of I had to really find a way. I've been in the trenches in front of this thing for 40 years, right? Almost. Yeah. And so that was my first experience of I got to figure out how to do this. And so I said, let's go. I don't know what happened. On the next tape, I said something and they were happy and it went on to be an award-winning commercial. So happened was good.
Right.
But it was competitive. I did get an agent, but it was very competitive. And what would happen is you'd have to be a face on camera, hundreds of people you'd have to be competing with. And what the producers would do is they would fast forward, you know, the VHS, remember those VHS tapes?
Yeah. A lot of people listening probably don't, but
probably not.
Yeah. You'd set your VCR to tape things and you'd have this tape and, you know,
And there, my first commercial was like 8x10. It was ridiculous. So they would watch them on fast forward the tapes so that when you caught their eye, they'd stop. So it was like the precursor to today's scrolling through the newsfeed. You had to catch their attention and you had to keep their attention before they clicked away. So that's what I was up against. And it's taken me a number of years. I got a mentor. Finally, the agent was, you know, they got me jobs, but they got me auditions, but they didn't get me jobs because I was up to me.
Right.
So I got a mentor. Then I started getting better and I started
like a coach who could coach you for on-camera stuff, right?
She was
like what you do now. Yeah,
exactly. I needed somebody in the industry who was in front of the camera who knew how to do it. Because my agent, I paid them $1,500 back in the 80s.
Yeah, they just get you, what do they call them, go-sees or something, right? You go to see the people. That's all they got you.
models go see, auditions, yeah. actors.
Right.
Yes. Yes. And so, you know, and they gave me basic training for that $1,500 and basic pictures, but I had to level up. I had to get a mentor. I did. That's when I got my first commercial, and I got residuals.
Because you like learned how to do it right and get their attention and play the game, so to speak, right? It wasn't like you're just showing up and the cattle call. I see all these parents with little kids. They go to these things. My daughters were got to an agent. I don't know how, through their dance studio when they were little. They never really got any jobs. They would go to these things and there were hundreds of kids there. You don't know what they're really looking for. You think your kid's cute. They might not even want a cute kid. They just want on like a weird looking kid. And they were close to some jobs. But I remember there were moms that were like talking to the little girl, little girls, honey, we need this job. You got to get, and the kids like barely, they don't know what's going on. It was just, and I really learned real quickly, unless they're going to start getting things, it just wasn't, you know, it's a real tough road to hoe, so to speak.
Oh, very, very tough. And you know what happened for me? Now, I'm not saying that you need to have a cavalier attitude where you don't care,
right?
But just the opposite.
Kind of a thick skin, though.
But you know, when I would be going out for these national commercials and these big films, and I would get nervous. And I finally said, you know what? I need to don't give a blank damn.
Right.
Okay. And that's when something opens up for me personally. Now, I don't want your listeners to say, oh, I have to get in front of the camera and not care. No, that's not what I'm saying.
No, right.
But putting that pressure on is.
Yeah, you got to be a little bit more relaxed, though. Because that comes through to people, right? I mean, your energy and what you exude on camera, I'm sure shows up on the lens when you're a mess, you know, and it doesn't look good. So people don't realize that.
You know what is interesting is the camera, and I've said this, and I don't know if people really understand it. First off, you got to kind of think about it. But then if you think about what a camera is, it has lenses, magnification.
Right.
And there's a way that the camera magnifies your energy that it can see what you're thinking.
Right.
It can see what you're thinking. So if you're thinking you're nervous, it's going to amplify it. If you're really grounded, it amplifies it. So as an actor, what I did with my mentor was, as I started working with that person, then I would go into the auditions and I would start feeling more confident because I was working with someone and we would interact together and synergistically figure things out. And then I'd go into an audition, and because I was having that person in my back, on, you know, behind me, like not
right.
in the audition, but that support,
yeah.
I felt more open. And I would get these ideas in these auditions, like just ideas would drop down.
Because you were more relaxed and you were more confident,
yes.
and you
yes.
felt like, you know, you were prepared. That's the word. You were more prepared in your mind.
In my mind. And it really right. is mindset. And I'll tell yeah. you just a little story. Back in the 80s, when you go for a commercial, what you're doing is you're going to a casting director.
Okay.
It's not a talent agent. A casting director is like somebody who is it's not even a production company. It's a person who says, hey, 7-Up, you need people. I'm the middleman. I know all the agents in town. So if you want people for your 7-Up commercial or your soda pop commercial, sorry, copyright, your soda pop commercial, the paralegal's coming out of me, your soda pop commercial
right.
or your car commercial,
yeah.
you come to me and I will, and you need a blonde 6-foot guy, you know, football, I will put that out to all the agents. And then they come to me, the casting director. Right. So I, you know, we knew everyone in the industry back then. So he told me one time, this one particular, the guy who was the biggest casting director in the area, he said to me, he said, Suzanne, look, when I'm standing behind this camera all day long, watching these actors that I know outside this room, I know these people. When they come into this room, they are checking their personalities at the door and they're turning into robots. And two things happen. They either close up and become real boring, you know,
right.
just like this, or they go like this. Hey, hi, hi.
They're too much.
Infomercial,
yeah.
you know? Yeah. And I thought, well, that's interesting. And then when I started teaching, particularly for Screen Actors Guild, I started teaching for Screen Actors Guild. And those seasoned actors really had a lot of bad habits. They were either under or they were over, or they thought they were perfect, but they were like turning off just a little bit. They would be talking off camera normally, and they turn to the camera and they turn into like a Stepford wife or something, or whatever, you know,
that's so
and
funny.
They shut off. And yeah. It's very, very, very subtle. But anyway, my history was, I got my first national commercial. I got all sorts of work after that. I got into the top percentage of earners in Screen Actors Guild. I taught for the Guild. I was elected to their.
It was like a real career. Council. Like you were able to support yourself and pay bills. And
I was,
a lot of people probably don't get to, right?
Exactly. I was like, yeah. You know, people, when I tell them that, they go, oh, you're the real deal, Susan. I go, well, I never thought of that. But
you never felt that way. Yeah. Well, that's true with a lot of professions. You just don't feel while you're going through it like you're successful as other people perceive you as.
Exactly. Exactly. So I did turn around and start teaching others in different, like Academy of Art University is a big, big university out here, Screen Actors Guild. But then I opened up my own school. And that was when I really... it's interesting. My own auditioning changed again as I really got to work with somebody, you know, lots of people, but one-on-one, not just big classes, because I saw what needed to happen. Like, for example, I would be in an audition one time and the camera didn't work. The camera didn't work. So this guy and I were standing there, it's called slating, where you, hi, I'm Suzanne Glover and I'm with so-and-so talent agency and you give profiles or whatever.
Right.
Well, the camera didn't work. So by the time we did it 5 or 6 times, we're just laughing.
But nothing was being recorded.
Exactly. So
did you know that at that point? Did you know it that it wasn't being recorded? You found that out later. Oh,
no,
you knew.
No.
So you're just practicing basically.
Yeah, she kept saying, oh, it didn't record. Oh, and so we had to keep taking it over and over and over and over and over again. And so by the time 5th or 6th take, we're just laughing and laughing. We both got callbacks on that.
That's
and
funny.
I started having my clients generate that kind of energy in front of the camera and boom, the energy changed, the whole thing. So my auditioning changed as I auditioned more. But then when I would work with people, I would start getting these, that's how I form my system is how I, it's been, you know, like tested and tested with people. And
yeah,
people and people,
that's how you get it better. So was it a school? And I guess the school still is in existence?
No, I closed that.
Now it's just all the stuff you do now. So the school was like teaching people how to act better, or was it teaching people how to be better on camera or auditioning? Or what was the school focused on? Was there multiple different types of classes?
There were multiple classes, modeling, acting, camera. I'm not a theater person, even though I've done theater. I played a guy in a theater.
Did you?
I did. And people were like, because my voice is low. You know.
Did you have short hair then?
And I had short hair and then I wore this hat. And
yeah,
I really,
that helps. Yeah.
It did. And I really played the part of getting into that testosterone, you know, my body language. Anyway, I'm not really.
Those you think you have a deep voice? Is that what you don't sound like you have a deep voice.
I mean, you don't have a high voice, you know, like Mickey Mouse, but.
People seem to recognize my voice. They've done that all my life. Oh, Suzanne, I heard you on the radio. You did? Oh,
really?
I know your voice. Yeah. But I played a guy. But I don't do theater because when I do theater, it's big. But yet, because I'm a camera actress, for example.
It's different,
you know,
right?
It's different. So, for example, when I did that play, I had to be a young man. I mean, I'm in my 60s, and this was only a few years ago that I had to play this 30-year-old guy who had just ridden his bicycle from London out to the country 30 miles. So to make that real, I was doing calisthenics out behind the stage, right, before I entered, which was very dramatic. I had to enter and then hide or something. It was bizarre, like I was being chased. So in order to do that, I got into this physical place of exercise. But you know what? Because I'm a camera actress and because I got myself really grounded in an absolutely phenomenal way, the feedback was, wow, you stood out because you were real. Because you were a camera actor being in the moment on stage rather than a stage actor playing a part. Does that make
sense? It's a different set of skills, right? Yeah, it's a different way. It worked because you brought those skills to the stage and it just kind of worked.
And thank you. And the other way around, that's why I bring it up, is in my studio, I did modeling, acting, and camera. So when I had theater people come in, their theater work exponentially expanded because they got into that camera place, which is a different method of acting.
Right.
And so when I work with stage speakers right now, like Vinny, for example, Vinny was a stage speaker, 30 years, big as life on stage. He was shaking in his boots when he had to talk to the camera. It was bizarre.
It's, you know, when I started this too, it's hard to, and I'm looking kind of at you right now, right? Not at the, it's hard to get used to looking at the lens, realizing that, because I want to look at your face, right? I'm not looking into the lens, but the people seeing you want to see your eyes. And I notice that people know on camera stuff, you're used to looking at the camera, you know, and that's what you have to do, I guess, if you're doing the news or whatever, you can't, you know. So it's weird.
You gotta get used to it. You learn tricks over the time. You do. But it is, you're talking to this mechanical, you're in this mechanical, unnatural environment. Yet people say, oh, just talk to a friend or be natural. It doesn't work that way. So I worked with Vinny. I got his right energy. And that was what he needed. So see, a stage speaker needs to change for the camera in a whole different way. You can't just bring your stage presence to the camera. It doesn't work. And what you might want to do is what I'm doing right now is I have you up on a screen right above my camera so I can see you.
Yeah, I have. And I got this from my other friend who does camera work. I put the camera on a mic stand. So the camera's like almost in front of your face. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I don't have to worry about, I mean, I don't look directly into the camera, but then for Zoom and these calls, I don't have to worry about because the camera used to be up here and it would look at me and then I'm really looking down. It looks really funny. So that's how I solved that problem. But there's all kinds of tricks, right? I could put something over your face or whatever, but people don't realize that, but they don't realize that when they're on Zoom and half their face is showing and they're down like this. I'm like, don't you see yourself?
You know, that really bugs me when people are like down here,
they look
on
up
the
their
couch,
shirt,
and they're looking up their nose and they're, just get
that must
your
make
head.
You crazy. Cause you're an on-camera person. It must make you nuts. If it bothers
it drives
me.
Nuts. It drives me nuts. And I'll tell you, I did sign up for a online program of some, not a program like an educational, but like a software program. Mm-hmm. And the owner on the phone, he was great, great. When he got on the live boarding webinar,
it was terrible. Canceled. He just can't even look. I know. And I'm not a camera person. It bothers me. It must make you nuts. Yeah.
Oh, he was arrogant. He was, mouth noises and kids. Oh. It was... I thought, slobby. I said, you know what? This brings me to my point. We need to take video. It's a two-edged sword.
Right.
If you don't do the medium right, you lose all your credibility. If you do the medium right, you can save time. You can then become as seen on TV, like back in the day, as seen on TV, remember?
Right.
The us and them thing. So,
it's funny because I told you one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you and I'm excited to get into this is that being on camera and video has become such a big part of our lives. And there's people that have YouTube channels and some of them, maybe they've gotten training by people like you, are very good on camera and they're doing videos in their room and I guess the camera's on a little thing and they're talking and they're sharing their ideas and they edit it pretty well. And then there's some people that are just and we also know that it's not, you don't need a huge studio to do this stuff these days. They're terrible. Like, I'm like, do you watch yourself? I mean, and they're putting all this content out there and they get followers anyway. It's crazy. But I think it's become such a big part of our lives. We have to address it, which is what we're doing here today, because it's not going away, because now we don't even. Right. I remember the days when we were younger, like cell phones started coming about. And I thought to myself, oh, my God, if we get video phones someday, I'm going to have to like put a bathrobe on to answer the phone and put a hat. I don't want to have to do that. But here we go. FaceTime and, Zoom and everything like that. We're all on video. Right.
All on video. And because it's becoming so in the public, whereas it used to be closed up when I needed a reel for my demo. I had to go to a production company. There was no iMovie back then. But now it's become so, I want to say slovenly. It's like, my expectations and my experience makes it feel like it's just been kind of prostituted because.
Yeah, it kind of has because, definitely.
You know what I mean? Because it's so available, people are taking it for granted and they're not using the medium to its actual full potential, which can be astronomical. You can have videos running on autopilot. You can have them doing the selling for you. You can be seen on TV. It's a valid tool. So the people who get good at it really can take advantage of what it is and get ahead of those people who are still doing the couch thing.
Yeah, where you can stand out. Because I'm sure you said it was competitive before because there were gatekeepers. And now it's even more competitive because anybody can get into it. And I think exactly. It's something you just can't avoid as a business owner, as a personal, right. You know, if you want to promote your personal brand or whatever, because we are visual people. We're only going to read so much. We're only going to listen to so much. That's why I do the podcast both ways. We want to see things. We go, we watch Netflix, we stream, we do, you know, Amazon, all that stuff. And I think people can, with a little bit of training and talking to the right kind of professionals like you, can really improve and enhance the quality of what, you know, they're putting out there. Like, and I think it really matters. And I don't think a lot of people really understand your perspective and what you've been through. And, you know, you see it immediately. So you go on, you probably cringe when you see some of this stuff. People don't realize the negative impact they're having on people when they're on camera, you know,
their
habits are. I don't know, biting their fingers. I don't know, whatever they're doing. You don't realize that you're on camera the whole time.
Yeah. It's real, real, real obvious. And this is the challenge today. When I say I'm helping people with the biggest challenge today, the biggest challenge is you got to show up on camera. You got to show up on camera. It's not optional anymore.
Right.
However, to do it right, it doesn't actually take that much. Well, I shouldn't say it doesn't take that much
practice, right? But if you start them on the right path, if they're on the wrong path and they're constantly doing the wrong things,
practice makes permanent. If you're doing it wrong, you're going to do it wrong.
Perfect
like
practice,
those
right?
seasoned actors that I had in Screen Actors Guild, they were really hard. I had to break a lot of habits because they were practicing wrong.
Right.
But the challenge is that we all have to show up now. We want to see. And even people who have these podcasts or blogs that are still screens, you know, hiding behind the screens, their comments, I keep hearing this over and over again. We want to see your face. We want to see your face. And that's because, I don't know if you know this, maybe you do, but there's a part of our brain that's called the fusiform gyrus or something.
Oh, I learned a new part of the brain I've never heard of.
It's a facial recognition part of our brain. You know how
so
you
it
look
matches
at
up the faces with who we think they are. That makes
and
sense.
When it searches out for faces. So when you're looking at a collage and there's a face in it, you know how artists do that?
Yeah.
Our face wants, I mean, our brain wants to connect to those faces. It's just primal.
It makes sense.
It's actually beneficial to use that secret, but then get good. So the challenge is you got to do it. You know, you got to do it. But the fact is that the secrets to really doing it well have been kind of hidden away in our industry, you know, TV film industry. We've been doing this for decades.
Yeah.
It's like honed into a science.
Right. If you're not a professional, you're not in that business, you're not learning that stuff. You know, it's funny when I go on LinkedIn, even if somebody doesn't have a profile picture on LinkedIn, I'm like, well, they must be nobody. I don't connect with them.
I'm also a hypnotherapist, and it's all so subconscious.
I'm sure.
So subconscious. And even just getting your head up, you know, up in the top of the frame is like, it's a photographer. You want to be in the top third. It's a photographer thing. It's a power thing.
Should I adjust my face here? Should I move my
up?
You ever see people that are like this and you're like, hello, how can you have your face be missing? Like, you don't notice that, you know, it's hysterical. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know. You know,
they're not aware. So awareness, but
they're not aware. Right.
In Hollywood, there is see how I'm putting my head a little top out.
Yeah.
There is a style in Hollywood that cuts off the very, very top of the head. Certainly not your eyes.
Right. No, but it's because it almost makes the frame look bigger, right? Because you're a little bit out of the frame and
it's a Hollywood style. Yeah. Okay. So it's really important. I really want to encourage your listeners to be vigilant on getting good. Doesn't matter who they use. Well, it does matter who they use because a lot of those people out there are like a makeup artist who doesn't have any, they want to be careful who they use, but I really think that your audience should take it seriously and know that now is the time to get serious about it because most of the world isn't. And so they have an opportunity to get on board faster and and get ahead of people because, hey, I'm good at this. And the other guy over there is still sitting on his couch. He doesn't get it, you see.
Right.
So exactly. That's why I'd like your people to understand that now is the time to do something about it.
All right, good. So let's talk about, we don't want to give away your whole course because we want people to come and connect with you and take your course and learn what you're doing. But maybe we can talk about some tips and tricks from, you know, from how you look on camera, maybe a little bit about lighting, about things like that, that people don't realize. Like, I'll give you an example. A lot of people don't realize they get a ring light or they do this and that, and they don't see they have a circle in their eyes or on their glasses. And you can see their whole laptop and, you know, stuff like that. So what are some tips and tricks?
Well, you're talking framing right now. You're talking framing and reflection and technical. So technical, it really isn't that hard when you just have a few rules. There are quite a few rules, but one thing to the glasses, like for example, do you have non-glare glasses on?
I do. I've not. Yeah, they have a film. When I got them from Warby Parker, whatever, I had a choice and I got it because I'm looking at the computer all the time. But it turns out my other glasses, the one cheap's at home. Yeah, they totally reflect. I usually apologize when I have to be on at home and they reflect. So I don't get any reflection on this, but also I don't know what you think about my lighting, but, and my background's going crazy today. Let me move that over here and then we won't see the mic. I have an umbrella light here, so it doesn't, not right in my face. So it's kind of reflecting down. I don't know if
that
helps.
Pretty good. Is it coming from more than one angle?
There's the overhead lights. Mm-hmm. Just fluorescent and the ceiling as I'm in an office. And then the umbrella lights right here. You can see it actually. If you can't because I have a background set up.
<can't.
laughs> I take that back. Sorry about that. But yeah, it's sitting right here and it's just the light bulb facing into the umbrella and pointing back. I was in someone's office once, they had an umbrella light and the light bulb was turned around. So the bulb was facing towards them. I go, what are you doing? They go, well, that's what you do. I go, No. The umbrella's there to reflect the light. So you don't have circles on your eyes and you're not like going blind.
Right.
Oh, that's how that works.
Right. Okay. And actually,
well, maybe we just help some people out there.
Yeah. Lighting can really make you look good and really make you look bad. And I tend to over light myself because I am in my 60s and I like to look younger. So I kind of watch it.
Is that so lighter makes you look younger when you have more?
It can if you do it right. For some reason, do you have white walls in your office? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, I do. Here, we're on the mic. I mean, we're on video, so let's share this with people. So this is my background, and it's
because
just
you have a lot of reflective light in there. That
I don't know. I don't have a green screen set up today. I do have one that hooks on my chair, but then it looks kind of funny. So this is the background. This is my office, and then there's just a microphone here, which we can just leave that today. But usually I do it so I have the logo up there and whatever for the thing. But yeah, this is my office, so it's not much.
But you're facing a white wall, probably.
This is a tan cream wall in front of me. Yes, it's not a dark wall. It's a very light color. Yeah.
Because I'm seeing a lot of reflective light on you, which is good. That's what you want. You want to think light all around you. There are certain light strategies. Like I particularly like to have what I call like a spotlight because like I like to overlight myself, but I like to have the face pop out a little bit because of that fusiform thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to light up my face just a little bit hotter than the rest of it.
So what kind of light are you using? For example,
I'm using some, what are they called? Barn door lights.
Those square ones that have the flaps on the side.
Uh-huh.
And those things aren't that expensive online, right? You can get certain kind of lighting for inexpensive.
But
yeah,
I have the old kind where I have incandescent lights and I prefer those. The new ones are all these LED things that have all these colors and stuff. And that, it just kind of oblique. I'm telling you, simple is better. But the ring light thing, I don't like that because you do need, if you're going to use a ring light, maybe you have to travel. And you need to be portable. If you really need a ring light, get one that has two on it so that you don't have a shadow on one. That's, if you have a shadow on one side, you have a dark side and a light side, that's like a film style. And
makes sense.
So this is why I should say there are all kinds of ways for lighting. If you want that kind of look, then you're doing like a movie thing.
Right.
If you, but that's not my opinion. I don't like that for commercial.
Here's a word from our sponsors. Uplift your marketing and reinforce your brand with a digital business card from Digital Accelerant, Use a text marketing combination to stand out in front of your competition. Digital business cards make you memorable and most of all help you bring in new business through its warm lead generator. Motion graphics, intro, outro, and inspirational videos can be added during setup. Text the word LAW to 21000, that's L-A-W to 21000, to learn how to get your own digital business card. Suffering from slow internet speed? Worried about hackers? Fetch Pro gets the internet from your smartphone to your Windows and Mac computer without paying for a hotspot. Always get the fastest, most stable, and secure internet access on your computer with Fetch Pro. Follow their affiliate link on our website to learn more and get connected with Fetch. Printify is the online service that simplifies and automates the process of sourcing and creating print-on-demand products branded with your company logo, product, or service. Printify is a better alternative to pre-purchasing and warehousing your merchandise for distribution or sale. Follow their link from our website to learn how to set up your own online store. And be sure to visit our online store and get yourself some podcast merch. Follow the link in the show notes to learn more about all of our sponsors. And now back to our show.
Which is nice and bright and happy.
Right, because people want to see your face and they want to...
You want to see you. Yeah. So first off is you can do this with house lights. I have shown in my course, I show the difference between... Okay, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I show the difference, and I'm sorry I don't have it, because I show the difference where I'm using my computer laptop with house lamps. I show that. And then I show where I'm in my studio, where I have a couple of professional lights and an inexpensive camera. And my face is, it looks 20 years younger.
Yeah, sure, because you're lighting up your face. Sure, absolutely.
And I was able to zoom in properly with the camera. So when you want to look good on camera, it is lights, it is the camera.
Right.
And I'm not trying to make this really complicated, but it is individualized. Like I can't tell everyone, say, hey, you should go get this kind of camera because it might not be right for your particular
right.
use.
But there's a lot of choices out there. You don't have to spend thousands of dollars on a camera.
You do not need to spend a lot of money on a camera. Oh, right now I'm using a webcam that was $50.
Me too. Mine's $60 or something. Yeah.
You know, it's no big deal. But then if you're a real estate person, for example, you want to have this kind of selfie stick.
Yeah, right. Where you can put the camera, the phone on there, right? Yeah.
Right. But you want to get one with a stabilizer.
So people aren't getting nauseous watching you walk around. Yeah, people don't think about that. And then they're like, you ever go on a Zoom call and a guy's like, oh, I'm just going to work. And he's carrying his phone. I get nauseous. Yeah. I have motion sickness.
See?
And he's carrying his phone around and I got to look away from the screen because it makes me nauseous.
See, you bring up a really good point. I don't want to make people paranoid.
Self-conscious.
Or self-conscious.
Right.
But at the same time, they need to be aware and conscious of what is the reader, listener feeling. I say reader because I had a literary agent probably 20 years ago who told me this. She said, I want you to think like a reader. What does that mean? She says, I want you to think like a reader. So what is your reader experiencing as you're writing this book? Okay. Well, when I wrote my book recently, it's like, okay. I'm talking to someone, she's having a conversation, it's a woman, she's having a conversation back with me, she's asking me questions. So when I'm talking about a video, when you're looking at what you're producing, even a person who doesn't have years and decades in the film industry can look at something like you are saying, oh my gosh, I'm feeling nauseous from this. It doesn't
right.
take decades of experience to tell someone, you're making someone nauseous because you're talking.
Yeah.
With a moving camera.
Yeah. Good advice. People should not do that on a Zoom call.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
No, but I don't want to say stand up for that, but there is a concept or a philosophy out there that you want to have movement, right?
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing right now. You want to have movement in.
Catches people's eye. But I also, people have motion backgrounds. Those make me nauseous too sometimes.
Oh, I don't even get
very
me
distracting.
Started on backgrounds. Yeah. I saw some guy had fire behind him. And I thought that subconsciously makes me think that he's fake.
Yeah, of course.
you know? So it's not, I lost my train of thought, but you want to think real. You really want to think real. And oh, the motion thing. So the YouTube, I was told, hey, you want your YouTube ad to be your walk-in and you're doing motion. I'm thinking, I've seen those and I don't like those personally.
No.
Personally.
No, that's why you need a stabilizer. If somebody's using a stick, I want it to be stable so I don't get, you know, and that's really only if they're giving me a tour of somewhere. They're like, oh, take a look at this. Not just because they're walking down the street and talking to you like that.
See, that's the difference. Now, the ones that I see, they have the stabilizer, but they still look bad because they don't know how to talk to the camera and they're framing. They aren't thinking about their framing. So they're getting who knows what in the background. And it's not really appropriate because the only time I would use a selfie stick with a stabilizer is if I'm a real estate agent and I got a tour. Yeah. I got to be the Vanna White. Oh, copyright. I got to be the person who's changing the, you know.
Yeah. You want to show the house, right? Yeah.
Show the house.
That makes sense.
You got to look good. You got to be able to talk. But it's not about you. It's about being able to pan, which is panning is where you're moving the camera. So it would be like you see yourself and then all of a sudden you kind of pan it a little bit over and then you see the house. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many wonderful ways to use video, but because the public is so new to it, they're just trying to figure out the tech stuff.
I know. You know, I mean, we probably jumped 10 years with this pandemic with having to be online that would have been this progression and things like that. And people are just, and then things like TikTok that come out and all this stuff. I mean, kids are throwing up videos like all over the place and it's just craziness.
I can't watch those.
I'm sure. Well, we grew up at a different time. My kids are making videos all the time. And I don't know. They're like, Dad, come over here. I'm like, no, you're going to do something. I don't want to get on. I don't want to be on this thing. I'm doing fake crazy things. You're putting a cat head on my hat. No way. You know, so because I mean, I'm a business person. I got to be in business. That's the profile I want. So now what about makeup? Because you look very natural. And, you know, I do sometimes see people with like too much makeup. And men don't usually wear makeup, but some of the women do. Are there like better shades that are better or worse depending on the lighting? Like, you know.
I had a casting director one time tell me never use eyeshadow because it makes you look like a raccoon. That was about 30 years ago.
Because the lights kind of make your eyes look dark unless you want to look like a raccoon.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, it's all what you want. But I actually am wearing quite a bit of makeup.
It looks very natural.
Thank you. And men should wear a little bit of something.
Yeah.
I know that sounds like, okay, I'm not going to get feminine here, but let's say you have a head that doesn't have a whole lot of hair.
And a lot of shine. Yeah. I have, I don't know where it is. Hair. I have one of those little compacts with the little with the little poof on your head. Yeah. I guess I'm not that shiny today, but sometimes
you're
shiny.
Not. I'll tell you a story. And here's the deal. When I used to have my acting studio, I did headshots. And I had one seasoned actress who was a friend of mine. She said, hey, you know, you're doing these headshots. I want you to do my headshot. I told her, you need to wear some makeup. Refused. First thing she said when she saw the pictures was, oh my gosh, my skin looks terrible.
Yeah, of course, because you said the camera enhances everything.
So if you have red in your face, it's going to blow it up.
Right.
If you have a pimple, it's going to magnify. You got to think, and I don't want to make people phobic, but you got to think that, you know, someone's just looking at you like this.
Yeah. Yeah. And they can only touch up so much. I know they can do certain things, but now I also think, was that a mic?
Sorry.
But people don't realize that if they're doing videos too, they should get like a lavalier mic like that with a cord and plug it into their phone. Their phone, it's not going to sound good.
No.
You know, they don't have a mic like this or what you're using. Yeah. And they're like $20.
Mine was 70, but
You can get one for like, I think I got the one over here. It's like $20 before I had all this stuff and it's long enough to connect to the phone. You can hide it.
Yep. Yeah.
And then it picks you up because you can't talk to the camera across the room or however far it is.
No, because it sounds like you're in a cave.
Yeah.
And you know, this is another thing. Because people aren't trained to hear and trained to see, they aren't trained in framing, which is the box here. They aren't trained in hearing. They aren't trained in just the lighting and things because they don't have that awareness yet. it's the whole medium is at a very low level for the public right now.
Right.
So expectations are low, you see. So it doesn't take much to stand out to be good.
Right.
But going back to the makeup thing, men should wear a little bit of makeup just because it does amplify things.
Right.
And you don't
they
want
do it on the news, right? The men get makeup on the news. They don't just go on without makeup.
There's a reason for that.
Yeah.
You know, we always had men wearing the makeup.
Right.
And it's
isn't it worse now with like HD high density, right? The studios all changed, didn't they? Once they went to high definition, it showed up like everything. Right? They had to redo everything.
Yeah. Oh, I did
it's
a demo
high definition camera, I think. Yeah.
Yours is?
I think so. It's 1080. I think that is.
Mine. Yeah.
It's enough that it's going to show things on your face.
You know, when I decided to move this to the public, and I was going to, I had to actually change my status with Screen Actors Guild in order to do this for the public because.
Really?
Well, you're a lawyer. You know, I could not do anything without a contract. So interestingly enough, all these people who are like the YouTube people who have millions of followers, who have millions of videos, here I am in the real industry, but I'm locked and handcuffed. I can't even show up I couldn't even do this without changing my status. I still pay my dues, but now I can do this. So
it's easier to be an amateur.
It's way easier to be an amateur. But the public right now, it's easy to stand out because you learn a few things and the rest of the public are like, oh, you're doing something different. What is it? I want to know. And
right.
But okay. So I'm going to tell you, you ask about the different parts. And this is what I want to say. The challenge is some people get tunnel vision. Some people say, oh, I've just got to get good with the tech and I can rely on the tech and I don't have to be engaging because the tech can do all the work.
Right.
Or I can get, if I just get over my camera anxiety, then I'll be engaging. Or if I have just the right presentation, I'll know what to say and I can sell a lot. But it's really not that. It's kind of disjointed that way. What you need to do, and this is the other side of the coin, is you need to see the whole picture. You know, remember that parable of the six blind men and the elephant, where one blind man looks at the elephant's trunk and they think the elephant's like a snake.
Right.
And then another one looks at the leg, he thinks it's like a tree, and the other one looks at the side and it looks like a wall. Well, that's what people are kind of doing with tunnel vision, but there's a lot more to an elephant, right?
Right.
Okay. Well, you need to kind of see that video as a whole picture, but not get overwhelmed with it, because at this point in time, the public they have such low requirements. It doesn't take a whole lot to start standing out. So you want to think like you do want to have your mindset around it so that, hey, I know the camera is seeing what I'm thinking. And I'm not talking positive thinking here. I hypnotherapist done that. I'm talking about what you're saying to yourself, how you're showing your confidence. Like when I had that mentor, I had more confidence.
Right. Because you felt prepared.
And
you were conscious of what was going on. Sure.
I felt supported. And so I was emitting that. Right. But it's also getting in touch with who you are inside. So mindset is actually quite a large part of it. And I know that kind of turns people off. Oh, mindset. Oh, mindset.
No, but I think people don't realize, and I'm a big proponent of like vibrational energy.
Absolutely.
Right. Like if we're depressive, people are sad, you affect people around you. So clearly the other way works too. So if you have the right mindset and you're enthusiastic and you're excited and you're happy and you feel confident, you will reflect that on other people. But I was going to ask you a question. Do you think that, maybe I'm answering the question too, as time goes on, people's expectations are going to change and they're going to start to see, they're going to expect us to more show up on camera and be more prepared because it is easier because the cameras are cheaper because you don't need $14 million to have a studio to do all this stuff. And people are going to be like, and you're going to look worse if you're not prepared because the expectations are going to go up.
Absolutely. And you're talking market sophistication. Thank you so much for bringing that up, because market sophistication, I'll use an example, diet pill first came out. Wow. You can lose weight with a pill.
With just one pill.
That's just the first level of market sophistication. Okay. Well, once that got saturated in the market, people are like, oh, seen that before.
Right.
So now level two, pill had to be faster, had to work better, had to lose weight quicker. You know, it had to be better.
Right.
And then level 3, 4, 5. Well, right now the whole world is at level 1. So by the time you get to, for example, I'll use another one. When I had my, I privately labeled a anti-wrinkle pill and I sold it in the newspapers. And it was a supplement type of situation that I branded myself. And when you're talking women who want to stay young looking, you're talking level 5 market sophistication because they have tried absolutely everything out there. They are very jaded.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's not going to work. Oh yeah,
of course
that's
not. Right. They're very suspicious.
Very. And the internet in general, the internet is very suspicious in general. But as far as video is concerned, we're at level 1. People are working around with the tech.
Right.
The next level I see is that you really are going to have to build trust. And that is using this face thing to show up authentically on camera. So I think the next level is trust. And then the next level from that is knowing how to connect as far as knowing what to say, knowing what your clients want to hear or your people want to hear, getting in their heads and saying their language. And then it moves on and on. So I feel like right now is very easy.
Yeah.
If you want to stand out,
it's hard.
It is going to get harder and harder and harder because right now everyone suddenly has to be a spokesperson on TV right now.
Yeah.
Without decades of experience.
Right. And they don't expect you to look perfect and to have this and that because we're not at that level. You know, it's funny you just said, I think what you just said is it really comes down to authenticity. And I think that you can't hide that stuff,
No.
You know, and you're just going to, people are going to see right through you, just like in the sales business, you know, in the 50s, tin men could come and sell you things and do all kinds of stuff. Right. People now just see right through it. And
but wait,
that's what's going to happen.
There's more.
Okay. I love it.
Ron Popeil.
Yeah.
He made millions doing that. And so people do, when they get on video, when you're selling on video, which is what I'm all about here, selling them because you want to be influential. So there's two sides of that. Like a CEO, well, he's not selling a product, but he wants to keep his credibility and he wants to be able to influence and he wants to keep, you know, be the head and be respected. That's one side. Yeah. But then there's the other side of, hey, I'm schlepping this timeshare thing here and I can't look like, but wait, there's more dancing around. I've got to feel like there's a progress that I can move people through. So you do want to know what to say in a certain sequential order. When I did the newspaper ads, I did these advertorials and they were 1,000 words and they brought the person through a certain triggers.
Yeah. You know, they were like, it was like a funnel, like an audio funnel. You're basically working them through a sales process. Sure.
Exactly. They have
understandable.
To, you know, credibility. Then you have to know how it works. And then they have to have emotions and not necessarily in that order, but yeah. And so video, I feel like it's a very complicated elephant and it's going to, right now, it's not that complicated to look good and be good.
Yeah.
But yes, you bring up a good point. It is going to get harder. And I tell people that. It's interesting that you brought that up.
I think people are going to expect you. I hear my voice echoing. Is something, did I screw something up?
No.
You don't hear the echo?
Thing.
Huh. Do you hear my voice echoing?
No.
Okay. Well, hopefully it won't show up on the recording.
I do not hear you echoing.
Okay, good. But I think that people are going to expect in your office for you to have some lighting and a mic and a camera and maybe headphones, not like these necessarily, but earbuds or something like that, because that's the way we're now communicating. We're all getting on Zoom and I do that more than I do phone calls nowadays, you know, with clients.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's actually an advantage. Like when I turned camera person and I started getting residuals, I was using video to automate my life. And I got residuals for 3 years on that commercial. It was a lot of money.
Yeah.
On that first commercial, I mean. So, you know, it's actually to people's advantage if they just embrace it and say, okay, I understand. I need to do this. It's easy right now to stand out. I should get good at it because it's only going to get more expected. Oh, and people do already expect to see you on video because of the YouTube, even before the pandemic,
right?
People, boy, wanted to see people. They want to connect.
We're visual. Yeah.
Because we're visual now, and that's part of our brain.
So if I'm a business owner or I want to work on my personal brand, what do you tell people? Like, how do you get started? Like, what's the first few things you should do to start showing up? I mean, buying a decent camera would probably be a good start, but
I actually think you should have a strategy, because what people do, here's a pitfall, is people start just getting in front of the camera and producing content for no reason.
Just throwing it together.
Yeah. And then they're wasting time, and then they're wasting money, and then they get spiraling down into this discouragement area. Like, well, I'm not making money with it.
This isn't working, right? It's the same with websites, any digital media. People don't have strategies and they don't. Okay. Yeah. So they should lay that out maybe ahead of time. What am I doing? Why am I doing this? Right.
Exactly. I'm very strategic why I do videos. There's a reason I do.
And you have a YouTube channel or videos on your website?
I have on my website.
You're a professional. So.
I know. I don't see. Okay. This brings me to a really good point. You don't need a million videos. You hear me on this. Okay.
Yeah.
People.
There's some people have millions of videos. It's ridiculous.
They have millions of videos. They become this video content person, but they're not making any money. And I talk about this in my book, the type of influencer, but we're talking video influencer right now, right?
Basically, right.
So there are three types of video influencers. The Zoomfluencer, where you're selling over Zoom. Maybe you're a real estate person. You're meeting people. You're getting leads. You're having your attorney.
It supports your business.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So that's one time. And then there's the Techfluencer, which is where you automate. You have an automated funnel where you're doing the videos and you bring people in and they go through a, you know, I call them shake.
They're like mini infomercials, basically.
No. I'm talking about a series of them.
Oh, okay.
A funnel.
Like, so it's almost direct sales, but you're working them through a video funnel. Okay.
A video funnel.
What do they call it? Direct response marketing? Is that what that's called?
That's exactly. Direct response. Okay. Right. Okay. And I have, okay, and then I'll go back to that. And then there's Starfluencers, where they're just spending all their time doing all these things.
Right.
And creating all this content. But you know what?
For what? They just want to get followers, like followers. And
right.
And, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah. So the Zoomfluencer.
Does that make you money? I guess it does if you get millions of them, right?
Well, you could be schlepping affiliate stuff and maybe making a little bit of money, or you could be making a ton. I mean, it's. But a Zoomfluencer or a Techfluencer who has no following could be making millions. And I know people who have, some of the direct response people that I have met in my direct response life with a newspaper, they're making millions.
Because they're selling products. They're selling stuff.
I can't find them online.
Right. It doesn't matter.
It's because they're being strategic with their advertising and their product and their... And that direct response marketing, with my experience in it now, wow, I media buying, I learned how to do the media buying offline, which now I bring online. It was it's a whole different way of thinking from the internet, where the internet's like, oh, just go out there and do some Facebook ads and drive it to a page and make $1 million.
It doesn't work.
No,
well, that's like you said, you need a strategic plan, because if not, you're throwing spaghetti up on the wall and hoping that it just sticks. And it's just a 9 times out of 10, you're just guaranteed to waste money.
Exactly. And going after building that tribe because you think you have to build a tribe because that's what the internet says.
Right.
You don't have to build a tribe. Now, I know some people are going to just rear their heads at that. Oh, well, I always check people out. I'm sure they do. But you know what? There are so many. When you're charging enough, and you have automated products selling for you, and you're charging enough for your own time, you don't need a million followers. If someone wants to be that skeptical of you,
you don't need them.
Qualify people.
Exactly.
And actually, video does that. Because then some people say, how long should my video be? Well, how important is it for this person to be qualified for you to talk to them?
Right.
All right. What does that mean, Suzanne? Well, that means if they're willing to sit through a 10-minute video to get to know what you do, then they're more qualified than a person that's going to go, oh,
30
this
seconds.
Is too long and leave.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's a weeding process, right? So it's in and of itself. Sure.
And you want to do that with video. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I think this is all great because in my profession, I don't want to be critical of lawyers, but and this is my opinion. So I'm put this out there. Everybody's saying I'm totally wrong. So fine. I find that if you take law firms and smaller firms, you look at their website, you look at the content they're putting out. First of all, their websites are terrible. They're not like a funnel. They don't have a purpose to each page that you get onto. And their use of video, in my experience, has been atrocious. Like, you know, these video, what do they call them? Let's say like a video resume. You go and you watch the person talking about the law that they practice. What could be more boring than that? And they're all, they got the library behind them. So they got these books that we don't use anymore. They're just collecting dust. And, you know, and that's what happens.
And you know what? You bring up something that I just did another podcast and the gal had mentioned that she went to my website and there's a video on there, my demo reel, like you're talking about, demo reel. I had all sorts of, quagmire comes to mind. The thing that's on there is so out there because I thought I want to show my personality rather than because my credibility is there. I want to show my personality because in the industry, a lot of times people would choose you off of this video thing because they say, oh, well, I can spend the day with her. She's fun. She's likable. I can, you know, I got to make my job fun. I don't really care. I got to spend a day with someone. So a lot of time it comes out to not what you know, but how
personality maybe. Yeah. Yeah. No, because people do evaluate. They're like, oh, I don't want to spend the whole day with her, you know, but if you seem fun and attractive and you know, you don't have pimples all over your face and you're nice and you have a nice voice. I mean, I'm sorry. We live in a visual world. That's important. They're not putting ugly people on the news. There's a reason for that. Doesn't change the news. It's because they want people to watch.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
But that doesn't mean, okay, I have to say that. That doesn't mean that you have to be good looking to do camera these days.
No, but that's what makeup's for. It cleans you up. It makes you look better. It's, you know, it's like you said.
Unless you overdo it, you can't overdo it. Because you got to remember the camera amplifies everything.
Everything, yeah. Like cocaine. If you're not a nice person, don't take cocaine.
Well, I haven't heard that one before, but yeah.
They say it amplifies your personality. Well, if you're not a nice person, you're just going to be a bigger not a nice person. That's the way I look at it. But you're right. If you look bad and you amplify that, that's obviously not a good thing. But you can learn. I mean, there's tips and tricks and things you can. Don't just do it on your own and then wonder if it's good. There's professionals like you that people can plug into and learn about what they're doing. Now, is there anybody that you kind of follow on YouTube or any of these video people? Not that you'll admit to, right?
I just can't watch them.
Yeah.
Sorry. I mean, that probably sounds snotty, whatever, but when I first started watching what the public was doing and I'm thinking, oh, I feel like they're prostituting my industry and my craft that I've spent decades perfecting and honing and getting jobs in the real world. Yeah. And so I haven't really watched a lot of people because I just can't. I can't.
Yeah, I think it would be a great exercise, but you'd probably lose a lot of friends and get in a lot of trouble to take some different YouTube channels seriously and like evaluate them and show why these are better and these are worse and what this person's doing right and wrong. And stuff like that's why I had you tell me about my lighting. We can pick me apart because it's my show. So
yeah, your lighting is pretty good, and I agree with what you're talking about with comparing. And then I think you know the paralegal in me comes out.
Yeah,
and says,
no, it's, you don't want to get in that
copyright.
Trouble.
Copyright.
Now I do hear my voice echoing. So for people listening, if maybe a Zoom problem, if you hear my voice echoing, I apologize to people that
I cannot hear you echoing.
Yeah, I know you can't hear it, and I don't know only I hear it, but. Maybe it might just be in my headset and then it's not being picked up by Zoom. Who knows? Okay, good. So this was great because I think people need to appreciate the value of video, kind of where we're going in the world and kind of be prepared as it becomes, you know, more accepted and more expected, not even accepted, expected in terms of that you got to show up. So how can people interact with you? So they can't go to your YouTube channel. We don't have a YouTube channel. So how do they interact with you, Suzanne?
Okay, they go to my website, which is suzanneglover.com, and it's S-U-Z-A-N-N-E, Glover, G-L-O-V-E-R.com.
And we'll put a link in the show notes. Good.
And actually, on the Work With Me page, I'm offering a free diagnostic call.
Perfect.
So I actually was going to do a special link for your people, but...
we could do that. We'll set it up. The show's not coming out till October anyway, so late.
Okay, I'll do a special link. So let's do suzanneglover.com/ Do you want Mitch or Mitchell?
Why don't you do a TAE podcast, The Accidental Entrepreneur. TAE podcast. And then we'll put the link in the show notes.
TAE podcast.
Perfect.
Okay, so it's going to be suzanneglover.com/ T as in the, A as in accidental, E entrepreneur podcast. That's will Perfect. Be your link. And I'll put that in there. And what they'll do is they'll go to an application where they just say, hey, this is who I am. This is what I do. And that gives me a little bit of information to hop on the call with them. And it's a short little diagnostic, but that's my
awesome. Yeah, I love free things for guests. That's always great because then they really can, you know, make this a valuable thing. And I think it's a big part of what we do. When I first started doing the podcast, it was all audio. And I'm like, well, people want to see us talking and things that go on. So I set up a YouTube channel, but I don't do any editing. I just put that as all behind the scenes. I put that up with a little thumbnail and that's it. And then I do the audio editing. But yeah, I mean, you get it. It was difficult. Like the first time you see yourself in a Zoom call or whatever recorded for hearing my voice first time was difficult on the radio in my car, like on a podcast. I'm like, oh my God. And you get used to it. That's what practice does to you, you know?
I never got used to it. I would see myself.
I've gotten used to hearing my voice. I'm still critical of it, but I'm definitely got used to hearing it. Yeah.
Well, you know, I was on a professional film set and I got close to the sound guys just because, you know, there's two kinds of actresses. There's the kind of prima donna who's like, oh, don't know. And then there's me like, well, how does this work?
Yeah.
How does this work? How does this work? So I'm getting close to the sound guys. They invite me back later on to do some, you know, to me and my husband go on the West set. But I first time, this was probably 20 years ago, first time I heard my voice on real equipment, I thought, oh, I have a nice voice. I've never heard it before.
Yeah, good equipment makes a big difference. People don't realize. My voice definitely sounds better on this microphone than when I had the stupid USB mics when I started and I had to clean up the sound.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I do want to mention that I spent, when I was doing the sound thing, spent $600, $800 on like a box with all this. We're talking all you needed, right? I took it all back when I got my lavalier because none of it
was
worked.
Fine. Yeah.
You know,
it didn't work. So, yeah. You don't have to spend a lot of money. I mean, I have a mixing board here because I used to have other people here and hook up different mics. And this is an XLR mic.
Yes.
But you don't have to do that. You can get a Blue Yeti or one of the little snowballs or a lavalier like that and get yourself, there you go, Blue Yeti. And it can sound fine, but I think don't talk into the microphone in your laptop. That's not good.
No, because it's wah, wah, wah.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Especially if you want to come on podcast. So Suzanne, I can't thank you enough. You got a couple
more. But I do want to say,
perfect.
Sorry, I want to say they're going to go to the TAE podcast link on my, but if they just want to see my fun video, suzanneglover.com.
There's all kinds of fun stuff on there.
There's just go and kind of get to know me. That's what I'd like.
That's what's important. All right. Well, I appreciate you coming on. I know it's like middle of the day there in California. I'm almost done with my day here, ready to collapse in New Jersey. And I thank you for spending the time with me.
Well, thank you for having me, Mitchell. That's really nice. Thank you.
If you like the podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Amazon Music, and many of the other podcast directories. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at info@beinhackerlaw.com. The Accidental Entrepreneur is hosted and produced by me, Mitch Beinhacker. If you'd like more information about my legal services, you can find me on social media or visit my website at beinhackerlaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.